Hear the voice of love that's calling. There's a chair that awaits for you. And a friend who understands everything you're going through. You keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. There's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place? Bring it all to the table. There's nothing he's seen before. For all your sin and your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior he calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the way you carry. And the fears that hold your heart. And through the cross you've been forgiven. You're accepted as you are. Bring it all to the table. There's nothing he's seen before. All your sin and your sorrow and your sadness, dear Savior, he calls. Bring it all to the table. There's no one who's turned away. All you sinners, all you saints, come right in and find your grace. Come on in, take your place. There's no one who's turned away. All you sinners, all you saints, come right in and find your grace. Bring it all to the table. There's nothing he's seen before. For all your sin and your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior he calls. Bring it all to the table.
Aren't you glad that you can come to the table of the Lord? Amen. Oh, the table of the Lord. Just think about it. He says that he prepares that table for you and I. In the midst of our enemies, we have a table. And we have that wonderful opportunity. If you would, open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. We'll look at the first four verses to lay a foundation. I tell you what's on my heart is, you and I, you know, I want us to ask ourselves this question, and this is, but it's between you and the Lord, nobody else, just you and the Lord. Do you have a passion for the lost, or do you have a loss of passion? Do you have a passion for the lost, or do you have a loss of passion? Because all through the New Testament, well, all through the whole Bible, but especially the New Testament, you see the passion of Jesus Christ. And his passion was that wherever there was a need, wherever there was somebody that was lost and undone, where they were in a circumstance where they needed him, He made sure. Remember it says in John chapter 4 that he must needs go through Samaria. And he went to the little lady at the well. And he brought revelation to her. And you and I, we need to have that same compassion. Amen? And so let's look here at what Paul said about this in Romans chapter 9, verse number 1. Romans 9 and 1. Thank y'all. Great job. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now notice this. The Apostle Paul, this is a spiritual heaviness. He said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why? Verse number 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. Why? For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. In other words, he's saying, could you put that slide up from verse number 3 in the Amplified Version? I don't know if... Yes. Now, that's what Romans 9 and 3 says in the Amplified Version. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off and banished from Christ. Why? For the sake of my brethren. Instead of them, my natural kinsmen and my fellow countrymen. What he's saying in a nutshell, the Apostle Paul is saying, I would give up my salvation, my assurance of where I'm going, to be able to reach somebody else. Now that's passion. That's passion. You and I tonight, we need a passion and we need an understanding. We need to be able to see that without Jesus, people are going to die and they're going to have to be in the place of being judged. Amen? Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, pray with me. We love you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that there is an answer to every sin, and that's you, Jesus. There's an answer to every struggle. That's you, Lord. There is an answer to every bondage, and that's the truth, Lord, that you are that makes us free. We ask you, Father God, right now, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that you would open up our eyes to your passion. You'd open up our eyes and help us see that there is a hell and there is a heaven. There is a reward that's coming, positive or negative, to every person. Lord, let us be moved tonight and help us to see things that we've never saw before. We ask that you just give us an unction. Just breathe this into our spirit, Father. We ask you in the name of Jesus, and we all say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, in our hearts tonight, every one of us, we feel that God is getting ready to do something. We recognize that beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the trumpet is getting ready to sound. Amen. That this dispensation of grace, the time that we have to be able to win the harvest, it's getting very narrow. And we need to be like the Apostle Paul in that text that Brother Josh and Sister Anna put on the screen for us. We need to be in the place to recognize that, thank God we're saved tonight. Thank God our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But that should motivate us to get out and to get somebody else saved. Amen? And so I believe with what God is wanting to do in this place, He's wanting to build a core of people who look into heaven by the blood of Jesus and they see the glory of God. And as Brother Whitney and I have been talking about, they see who they are. They see their inheritance. They see what they've been called to do, and nothing shakes us or moves us from it. Amen? Now let's talk about that just a little bit. Open up your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verse number 10. And I hope we get to preach out of this whole fifth chapter in the near future. But for right now, let's just look at verse number 10. I want you to see what Jesus said to the disciples after he called them. And he's saying the same thing to you and I tonight. Luke 5 and 10. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, how many are a Simon tonight? We need to be a Simon. The word Simon simply means hearing. Amen? If you and I will hear what God the Father is wanting to speak to us tonight, We're going to be that Simon. We're going to be in that place. Now, notice what Jesus, red letter, Jesus said, fear not. Why does people not witness? Why do I not witness sometimes? Because of fear, amen? But you and I, we have not been given the spirit of fear, but we've been given the spirit of power, amen? Of love and a sound mind. You and I, the anointing of the Holy Ghost wants to come upon us and loose our lips, move our tongue, wants to cause us to look past the outside, the external of that person, to do like Jesus did. Look at their heart and see the need, see the hurt, see where they're at, and see where He wants to take them. Amen? And He said, I want you to fear not, He said, because from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Not maybe, not possibly. You and I have been ordained from heaven, by heaven, to catch men. I love this word, catch men. It's a military term. It means to go in and to catch alive those who are prisoners of war. Amen? There is a group of people out there tonight. They're not in the house of God. They're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they're in a war and they don't even know it. Come on. They've been taken captive. They're POWs. They're prisoners of war in this warfare with the devil. And you and I need to be in the place where we say, Lord, when You called me out, when I heard my name, when You wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, when You caused me to be born again, You said, I want You to do something for me. He said, I want You to become, henceforth, from that moment, I want You to see yourself. I want You to look into the very Word of God and see what I say about you as a fisher of men, as somebody who can go forward and bring alive those who are in the stronghold of the devil. Amen? That's what Jesus says about you and I. And that's what Paul is saying as he's writing to the church at Rome there. He's telling them, he said, I've got a burden for you. I've got a burden for anybody who doesn't know Jesus. See, tonight we talk about how much we love God. Now, this is a little rough, okay? And it's on my toes first. But we talk about how much we love God. But love motivates. God loved us so much that He demonstrated that love, amen, that He sent Jesus. If I'm not telling anybody about the grace of God, if I'm not telling anybody about the goodness of God, if I'm not looking and seeing somebody bound up in sin, but I'm continually thinking about myself, then I got to ask myself, what's motivating me? It's self-passion. It's not Christ-passion. See, passion in the Bible, every time you look in the New Testament and you see the passion of Christ, you see the passion that is talked about and moved and ministered, it means to suffer pain. What is he saying? Christ's passion looks into the pain of an individual, the pain of sin, the pain of heartache, the pain of lack, and looks at that and says, I'm going to do something about it. Amen? You and I, we've been called, we've been ordained, authorized, deputized to do something about a sin-sick world, to do something about the lost and the undone, the hungry, the hurting. You and I, if we don't do it, it will not get done because Christ called us. You were set into the kingdom of God for such a time as this. Come on, Esther 4:14. Esther 4:14, that's what you are. We are in the Esther age. We're in a moment of time. Don't you see what's happening in America right now? The book of Esther is being relived. I'm telling you, the sin that you've seen try to take over our nation, those who have set up us to fall, they're going to hang on their own gallows. You watch and see. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But you and I, as a part of the church, we're set in such a time as this to what? To bring Christ to a lost and dying world. Now, go over to the book of Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Brother Whitney and I were talking about this earlier in part. You know these scriptures very well. But I want to read one verse. Verse number 19 for sake of time. Now, remember, Christ said that you were a fisherman. You're going to catch men. You're going to save them alive. But look at verse number 19, Galatians 4:19. Paul makes this statement. He said, my little children. Paul looked and at the ones that he preached the gospel to, the ones that he brought to know Christ, and just as John the Apostle, John the Beloved, he looked at them as his own children. Remember he talked about Timothy, my own dear son. It wasn't physical. It was spiritual. Amen? And so, look what he says. He says, my little children of whom I travail in birth. Now, mark that down in your heart again. We think when somebody comes to the altar and they get saved that they are to walk a straight line. Did you? Did I? No. And we may have to do some things over and over and over again. But thank God Jesus done it over and over again with me. And if I need it again, He'll do it again. Amen? But Paul is saying, he said, I have got a passion like my Lord and my Savior. And I look and I see these little children. And I see them. And he said, I'm going to travail in birth again. You know what that word travail there means? It means to experience birth pains all over again. It hurts sometimes when you witness to somebody and you bring them to the altar. And you work with them and you pray with them. And something happens and they don't show up on Wednesday night. They tell you they'll be there and they're not there. Come on. There's a devil out there that's working on them. There's a life that's got a hold of them. Come on now, they're caught up in some things. They need our prayers. They need our help. And we're going to have to do some things over and over again. But we're not going to be discouraged. We're going to serve Jesus the way He served us. Amen? And we're going to travail. He said, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Oh, hallelujah. Tonight, Jesus Christ is being made in you and I every time we submit to the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed. The Word of God is being brought alive in you because the Word of God is already alive. But when you accept it, when you receive it, when you act on it, it comes inside of you and it produces fruit. Amen? Fruit of Jesus Christ. It changes the way you look. It changes the way that you understand. It changes the way that you think. Thank God it changes the way that we talk. Amen? It gives us a goal. It gives us a vision. And that vision is from Jesus Christ. And so we are here tonight to be in a place where fire is going to fall. It's going to fire in our spirit brand new and new, afresh. And it's going to give us a passion, a hunger to be able to reach those who are lost and undone. It's going to change some things. I promise you, it's the beginning. It's the beginning of moving and stepping out into the deeper things of God. Go with me to John 3 and 3. You know what Jesus said. He said, marvel you not that you've got to be what? You've got to be born again. There's a travailing that has to take place. There's a birthing process. John 3 and 3, Jesus answered and said it unto Nicodemus. He said, verily, verily, truly, truly, surely, surely, this is a legal term, amen? I say unto thee, except a man, a woman, a boy, a girl be born again, he or she cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you and I, we've got to show them the kingdom of God. But the only way we can show it to them is we've got to tell them there is a word that will come inside of them. And that word will cause them to be born again. Amen? That word will help them to call upon the name of the Lord. And Jesus said through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. They shall be born again. Amen? Born from above. And so tonight, you and I have got to be in a place where we see that all around us, there's lost people. They're hurting. They're hungry. But God is hurting for them. He is hungry for them. And He wants to use us to cause them to be brought into Him. Now, 1 Peter 1:23, you get born again. You know this scripture very well by the Word of God. Amen? Being born again, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? What is that incorruptible seed? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, hallelujah. You and I, we get to sow that seed. Behold, the sower go forth to sow. That sower is Jesus, but it's the Holy Ghost in you. It's Jesus in you by the Holy Ghost. And you go forth and you sow the Word of God. We don't sow denominations. We don't sow our own ideals or our own thoughts and theories. We just sow the Word of God. You give them Jesus and they'll get born again. I give them Jesus, amen, they'll get born again. And we've got to have a passion for it. We've got to see that this is our destiny. Jesus didn't call us just to bless us, though He does. He didn't call us just to fellowship with us, though praise God He does. He called us to where we could what? We could take the fellowship to somebody else. We could take the blessing to somebody else. And if we're not doing that, we're being a hoarder. We're holding in what God's gave us. Amen? We've got more to give than we've ever understood. But God's fixing to show some things to us, ain't he, Brother Whitby? He's fixing to show us some things that what we've got to give is greater than we've ever imagined, than we've ever dreamed. And all we've got to do is be willing to give it. Now let's look at Jesus, his very heart. Acts chapter 1. You know, as he's getting ready to ascend on high, look at this statement in verse number 3. Acts 1 and 3. It says, talking about Jesus, to whom also he showed himself alive. Jesus showed himself alive because death couldn't hold him. After what? Mark it down in your Bible. Mark it down on your table of your heart. After his passion, by many infallible proofs, that means it cannot be denied, being seen of them 40 days, and of speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. See, we spend so much time talking about things that does not matter. Now, I don't care to talk to some people for a while, and I'll talk to them about what they want to talk about. But if I'm talking to church people, after a little while, I want to talk about something that matters. Amen? Now, that's not being hard-lined. That's just being, we need to get into something that matters. We need to get into the Word of God, which will take people to the kingdom of God. But if you're around somebody and they never want to talk about the Word of God, then we got to step back and we got to say, now, wait a minute, something's wrong. We're not judging them, but we want to help them. Because if somebody always wants to talk about something that is going to burn up, going to pass away, then they got their mind on more earthly things. And I've been there, amen? But we got to help them refocus where they can see who they are. God's wanting to do a work in the core group of people where they can go out into all the world, amen? Now notice what it says. Drop down to verse number 8. Verse 8, Jesus said, talking about you and I, but you shall receive power, that dunamis power, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We all know that verse. But we've got to live it. When Jesus looked and he said, with many infallible proofs, he set forth his passion. And his passion was about the kingdom of God. And he said, then I'm going to anoint my people with the same power, the same Holy Ghost that I have, where they can what? Where they can be a witness. The reason why you and I feel doodads in these church services is not just to feel good, it's to take that anointing power, that fellowship, that relationship, that understanding of what God's showing us in here, out there. Come on now, y'all are awful quiet. You get in here and help me now. In the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, this is what God's wanting to do. He's wanting to stir us. He's wanting you to see who you are. He's not trying to browbeat us. In the mirror, he wants you to look into the Holy Ghost mirror. In that Holy Ghost mirror, there is a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, of power and love and the ability to speak a word in due season into somebody's life and to see their eyes come open. That's what he wants to do. But you've got to see. I've got to see myself as that. I can't see myself as the devil tells me I am. Come on, the devil tells us how inadequate we are, how much we don't know. God never said anything about that. He said, he told Peter to preach what he knew. He told Paul to preach what he knew. They knew different things. Now think about Peter just for a second. When he talked about Paul in his epistle, he said, man, he wrestles with deep truths that it's hard for me to understand. But did that stop Peter from preaching, witnessing, testifying? No. Paul looked and he said, hey, Peter's the one where Jesus said that he was going to use to found the church upon. Did that stop Paul? No. You and I, we can't let what other people's gifting, other people's calling, other people's ability determine what we do or don't do. What determines what you do and I do is the anointing of God. It's His revelation, amen? And you and I, we are going to have a passion. He's going to drop in your heart tonight, I believe, with everything of my being, a new level. I know that you love the people and you love the lost. I know that you're concerned, but God's wanting to raise the ante. He's wanting to be where you and I can't go to sleep until we've prayed for that one person. We can't go to sleep until we've done all that we could do that He has laid on our heart. Where we see the vision of what's going on in heaven and we make it real here in earth. Amen? That's what He's wanting to do for us and through us. Look at Luke 9:22 real quick. Luke 9:22. This is what Jesus went through that we could be born again. And he wants us to have this same passion because of what he's done for us to do in somebody else. In Luke 9:22, Jesus says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and the scribes." And notice this. "And be slain and be raised the third day." That's what Jesus was willing to do for us. He took all of that shame. He took all the sin, but he took all the pain in his body and in his very soul. He took it for you and I. Amen? And he was rejected. It says that everyone rejected him. Everyone turned and ran from him. But he done that you and I could turn and come running to the Father. Amen? That's passion. That's passion. And so, you and I, we may have been hurt. We may have been slapped around. We may have been underappreciated. That doesn't determine what we do or don't do. The move of the Holy Ghost in our heart determines what we do and don't do. Amen? That's what moves us. That's what motivates us. Nothing else does. And we have a heart to be able to let God be God in our lives. Amen? Now, go back with me to where we started in Romans chapter 9. Let's look at that just a little bit more. I want you just to get so excited about what God's calling you to do. Now, he said in verse number 3, For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren and for my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now, notice what he says. He said, this is my prayer to God. For when he said, for I wish, if you look in other places in the Bible, that same Greek word is translated prayer. In other words, he's saying, in the name of Jesus, Father God, I want my life to mean something. I want it to be more than getting up and going to work, eating and going to bed. I want it to mean something. I want to use every opportunity that you give me. And I'm not going to be browbeaten about what didn't happen before, but I'm going to be excited about what can happen now. Amen? I'm going to live in anticipation. I'm going to live moment to moment. I'm going to live in the understanding that I've got a Holy Ghost in me, and greater is he that is in me than that devil that's in the world. Amen? And I'm going to accomplish and do some things for God, by God. That's what we've got to see and believe. Amen? But I want you to see some things. This is Paul's heart because he had it from Jesus. See, you've got the same heart. Because when you got born again, you got a brand new heart. And it's of God. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want us to get really... I love these. This is one of my favorite chapters. Of course, you know it because I talk about it all the time. But look, starting at verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us... Better said, compels us. For the love of Christ compels us, because we thus judge that if one died, if Jesus died for all, then we're all dead. Jesus died that we could live. Amen? And so I want you to think about that. Jesus done that because of he was compelled by love. And Paul is saying that he's compelled by love. Amen? And so tonight, you and I, what did God do for us? He sowed his love in our heart. Amen? What did he do? He gave us the fruit of the Spirit. The very first fruit of the Spirit's love. So love is our passion. Love is our motivator. Passion motivates you. I know when I'm being carnal. It motivates me. Come on now. But when I'm spiritual, then I get motivated by the love of God. Not the love of self, not the love of the flesh, not the love of the world, but the love of Jesus Christ. And that love moves me. That love moves you. Amen? And it constrains us. It compels us to do what Jesus said. Jesus said, love God first and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, right? Come on, that John 13:35. That's what Jesus wants us to do. And we don't have to do it. It's in us. Come on now. Once again, we look in the mirror of the Holy Ghost. We don't look in how we feel. We don't look in the flesh. We look in what the Word of God says. And that stirs a passion. We don't have a lost passion, but we have a passion for the lost. And it's stirring inside of us. Now, look what he says. He said in verse number 18, verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5:18. He said, and all things are of God, prodigy, born of, who hath reconciled us to himself. How? By Jesus Christ, and has given us unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, if you notice in these verses 18 through 20, Five times you have the word reconciled or reconciliation. The number five in Bible numerics means grace. The grace of God reconciles. The grace of God brings people back together. God's got a family. And just like you and I, when somebody doesn't get to come in at our family get-together, it's not the same. It's not the same for God when all of His children are not washed in the blood. It's not the same for God when that one is gone. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to leave the 99 and I'm going after the one. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the passion of Jesus. That's the passion of His church. And that's where we've got to be. We've got to be in that place where something's not right. There's somebody supposed to be sitting right back over there, and they're not there. And I'm going to pray for that cheer. I'm going to pray for that cheer until they come in. I'm going to be used by God to go and minister to that one, witness to that one, testify to that one till they come and they sit down right there. Right there. That's their spot. That's their place. And God's looking for them. Amen? He's drawing them, but He's got to have a group of people who will share His love with them. Now notice, He said, I gave unto you, the last part of verse 18, the ministry of reconciliation. Now think about that. God said, you've got the ministry of Christ that reconciles, that brings a divine exchange. Take somebody's sin and gives them the righteousness of Christ. Oh, my, my, my. Now, I want you to think about it. Every one of us, you've got a title. You know, and whatever job you've ever worked on, wherever you've worked, you had a title. And that title labeled who you were. And according to how you performed on that job, it determined how you excelled and where you moved up in that job. Well, I want you to look in the family of God and think about that. God the Father looked down at you. He looked down at me and He said, I call you into the ministry of reconciliation. That's how much confidence the living God has in you. That gives me chills all over. See, the devil wants to try to limit us by keeping us in the thought realm, in the natural realm. God wants to raise us up, but we've got to let go of the thought realm, the natural realm, and we've got to get in the spirit realm. And we've got to see through that Holy Ghost mirror that God said, you're able. You're worthy. And I'm going to put my spirit on you that you can do what I called you to do. Oh, my, 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 my. Man didn't say it. God said it. God said, I gave you. God's not a, He doesn't take back anything. Amen? So there's nothing you could have done, nothing I could have done. We may have fallen short in the past. We don't look to that. We look to right now. Amen? And so God gave it to you. It's yours, but you've got to operate in it. I've got to operate in it. Amen? And we've got to encourage our other brothers and sisters that they can be what God called them to be, whether they've been saved for 1 hour or whether they've been saved for 50 years. Come on now. Because it's not according to what you know. It's according to who you know. Amen? We know the one who loves us with His all, who was righteous and was made sin, that we could be made righteous. Amen? Glory. Now, I want you to think about this. This is so powerful that we've got to see that if we don't do it, that we've got to be willing to step into place the way Jesus did. We've got to be saying, Lord, I'll make myself available. Because we've got examples all through the Bible. Real quick, go to the book of Exodus with me. And look at Moses, where he's a type of Christ, if you would. Exodus chapter 32, verse 31, for the sake of time. Exodus 32, 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Are we doing any different today? So God hasn't changed. People hasn't changed. If God could save His people then, He can save them now. Amen? Now look at Moses' heart. Verse 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, but if not, look what he said. Blot me out, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. See, this is where he becomes a type of Christ. Before, he's a type of the law. But now he becomes a type of Christ because he's saying, God, look at the people. and look at me. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. But I love them so much that I'm willing to give my life in their place. That's what Jesus did. Amen? Now look what God says. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him or her, no gender intended, him or her will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go. Go and lead the people. Come on, that's what He's saying to us tonight. He's saying to us tonight, go. Go and lead my people. Lead them out of bondage. Lead them out of sin. Lead them out of darkness. Lead them into the light. Amen? The message hadn't changed when Jesus went and He stood on the mountain with the 11. He said, I want you to go into all the world and do what? Preach your ideals? No, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, the good news. The good news is, yes, there's a hell, but there's a heaven. There's a heaven, and you don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. You don't have to stay in sin. You don't have to stay bound up. You don't have to stay broke. You don't have to stay sick. Jesus took care of it all. Amen? That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's what we want to share. So He told Moses, and He's telling you. He's telling me, just like He told Paul. He said, I want you to go. Because there is a heaven and there is a hell. Let's look at it. Revelation. We've got to get this in our heart tonight. Revelation chapter 20, I believe it is. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12. This is going to happen just as sure as you and I are sitting and standing here in this place tonight. Revelation 21, 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now think about this. The dead spiritual. They were spiritually dead because somebody didn't tell them about God. He said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before, Revelation 20 and 12, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, this is where you and I lift our hands to God. Because we're not judged out of those books of works. Because we're judged out of the book of life. Come on now. Because our confidence is not in what we could work. We're not saved through works, lest any man should boast. We're saved because of our faith in the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Amen? But these here are standing there. Now notice what it says. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of... And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is the second death. Jesus talking about God in Mark chapter 10. He said, don't fear man. He said, fear God, which is able to destroy both soul and body, or body and soul, whichever it is, in hell. Amen? But He's able to save those who will come unto Him unto heaven. Amen? And we're going to get a brand new body. That's what we're going to tell people. We've got to tell them there's a saving grace. And that saving grace, no matter what you've dealt with, can take your sin away and you're going to get a brand new body. Amen? Verse 15, here's the reality though. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Judgment day's coming. Just like people are running to and fro, living their life, just no different than it was. I know we're not supposed to preach on this, but just no different than Genesis 18. Sodom and Gomorrah was a place. It was real. It's no more because God's judgment fell. And God's judgment's going to fall on this earth. This time it's not going to be by water, but it's going to be by fire. Amen? And everything that is in Christ, that has the blood of Jesus on it, that fire just makes you more pure. But everything that has been tainted by sin, it burns up by that righteous fire. God, He said, vengeance was His. God is a consuming fire, but it doesn't hurt His children. And so we want to have a passion to tell people how to come out of that, amen, and to come into the grace of God. I want to close with this verse. James chapter 5, verse number 20. This is the power that God has placed in your life and my life. James chapter 5, verse number 20. Well, let's read verse 19 first. James 5 and 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. Now mark that down in your Bible. Write it on the table of your heart. You have the power to bring conversion into somebody's life. It just simply means to cause them to turn around. To turn around. Notice what it says. Let him know, let her know, that he or she which converteth the sinner from the arrow of his or her way shall save a soul from death, the second death. Shall save a soul from the second death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Why? Brings them into the love of God. The love of God causes the blood of Jesus to wash over them. But the love of God covers a multitude of sins. I want you just tonight, I want you to put your left hand on your heart and raise your right hand to heaven. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that You have filled our hearts with Your love. You have filled our hearts with Your love. Come on now. Make that confession. You have filled our hearts with Your love. Oh, glory. Now, I want you to, with your eyes closed, looking by the Spirit of God, I want you to see that because you're full of the love of God, you have the passion that God has. You have a motivating factor, but you have the ability, as God has converted you, you know how that happened, and you can be used by God to convert someone else and see them saved, see them turned around. Father, right now, drop in our hearts this passion, this urgency for the lost, this reality that heaven is real, but also hell is real. There is a lake of fire that is real. Lord, help us right now to have a passion for the lost. We ask You in the name of Jesus. Glory, glory. Now, I want you to believe with me. I want you to believe that God is going to instill inside of you a new urgency. A new urgency. You're going to look at somebody and you're going to look through them with the eyes of the Holy Ghost, and they may be in a place that you don't understand. But you say, Lord Jesus, because love is in me, and because I'm operating by love and I'm motivating by love, I know that You're going to give me a word for them. I'm not going to look at where they're at, but I'm going to look at where Your word is going to take them. Amen? It's going to change everything. Everything. I believe it with all my heart. Okay, we've got to read one last verse. Romans chapter 5, verse number 11. Romans chapter 5, verse number 11. Talking about Jesus. Well, let me read verse 10 too. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by His life. Now notice this, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received atonement. Atonement. That's that same word. That ministry of reconciliation, there was an exchange. God took your sin, my sin, and He took and He put it under the blood of Jesus on the mercy seat. And your name went from death to life. And you're alive and you're alive forevermore. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to have eternal life. You have it right now. Amen? When you got born again, you got born again. Amen. Now, the reality of being born again is that we're not living anymore from this world. We're living from heaven to earth, not from earth to heaven. And everything that we need, we don't have to go get. We already have. So I want you to see yourself through that Holy Ghost mirror as a vessel, an instrument of God that God Himself named as a minister of reconciliation. Now that means that you have the ability to cause a person to see sin and to see the answer and to see the exchange for sin. Let them be reconciled unto God through this sacrifice of Jesus. And so if you can see yourself all armored up with the blood of Jesus all over you, with the anointing in you, but also coming upon you, then the very sin, the stronghold, the lie, it cannot stand. When you open your mouth, when you say yes, and you put your hands on the person, that anointing that is in you will be transferred to them. The yoke that is on them will be destroyed off of them. Amen? We're going to see some amazing things. It's going to start very slow. There's a trickle that's coming. But as you and I yield and obey, that's going to open up the floodgates. We're going to get into the deeper things of God. God's going to be glorified because everybody's going to look and they're going to say, they're just like the disciples. They're ignorant and unlearned, but they've been with Jesus. Come on, we don't have all these letters behind their name, but we got Jesus that gave us the name. Amen? Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you've ordained each person that was here tonight. There is just a select group of people, and they're here tonight to hear what you would say. They're here tonight because they're hungry. They're here tonight to look into that Holy Ghost mirror and not be that forgetful hearer that James wrote about, that when they walked away, they lost who they were. But tonight, there's going to be an impression that is on the table of our heart. And that impression is going to be the fire of God. And it's going to burn that just like we would on a DVD, just like we would on a compact disc. And it's going to allow the reality of who we are always to play over and over and over. And it's going to stop the lies of the enemy, but it's going to propel us, compel us, constrain us to go in and to reach those who are lost and undone. Let it be, Father, in the name of Jesus. Could we all come and just get at this altar? Could we all come and say, Lord, here I am? Because I believe when you come and you bow down before this altar and you open up your heart, there is going to be an anointing that's going to drop a fire down inside of you. And as it drops that fire down inside of you, you're going to be forever changed. You're going to have an ability to do what you've never been able to do before. You're going to have a hunger to do what you've never done before. You're going to see things like you've never saw before. You're going to see people in a new light. And I'm saying that by faith. And I'm saying it for my own self. Amen? Hallelujah. Let it be in the name of Jesus. Glory.